Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You are important to God. How did we sing that last song? Jesus loves me, this I know. How do you know? For the Bible tells me so. It is as simple as that. Did you know that God has regard for you? Why does God have regard for you? You've got that special outfit on. Got a nice good shave today. My hair's just right. You tithe, you fast. No. You are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. God has regard for you. Jesus admonishes his church today in our readings that despite those with Pharisaic tendencies, those who tend to think like and act like Pharisees, despite what they say, no one has greater claim on his kingdom than a newly baptized infant whom he welcomes with loving arms. And we are warned today as adults to trust God the way kids do. God the Father is ready to justify, forgive the worst of sinners by his generous grace in Christ Jesus. The Pharisee in the gospel reading today excluded himself from God's grace, while the penitent tax collector embraces God's grace like a little child. True righteousness comes from God to us, not from the righteous things that we do for him. Is it okay to do air quotes in church? Christ's righteousness, his holy status, was conferred and credited to the world on account of his death on the cross and his rising from the dead. Jesus would teach by the example of a man that was hated by everybody that blamelessness, honesty, justice, true righteousness are attributes of God and not necessarily of man. Jesus told a parable in today's gospel to a group of folks who had rejected that God is the source of all righteousness. They naively trusted that they were not like other men. They believed that they were righteous in themselves and that God needed to recognize them as such. Our readings today, well, they present two different attitudes of heart, two different faiths, if you will. Faith in God through Christ Jesus, and faith in yourself, which is really no faith at all. Our readings compare and contrast humble, childlike faith that says, well, pleads, don't look upon me based on what I have done, compared to those who boast, look what I have done. One receives God's mercy, the other blocks God's mercy. During Jesus' last journey, the Pharisees seemed to be hanging around him all the time, looking for ways to trip him up. They believed themselves superior to Jesus, well, to everybody, including Jesus, and they treated just about everybody with open contempt. In today's gospel reading, it seems that other folks were falling into that same way of thinking. Jesus' parable today is intended to warn those who might be displaying Pharisaic tendencies or attitudes like Pharisees. Jesus warns those filled with self-proclaimed righteousness. He warns those whose only thanksgiving to God is that thank you that I am not like that other person. These things are at the heart of the worship practices of a man named Cain. Our Old Testament reading today warns of a progression that flows from an attitude of superiority and contempt. God warns Cain not to allow sin that crouches at the door of his heart to enter in. Don't let it in, lest sin's actions become the intent of your heart. Cain was jealous over his brother Abel. In his mind, the Lord had been playing favorites by regarding Abel's offering over him. Cain was filled with unchecked anger that quickly led to dark brooding and evil plotting. And for you confirmation students who may be taking notes, this next part is law. Although the desire of sin is always directed against mankind with the intent of gaining control over the soul, the believer will keep the upper hand. He or she will hold back the wrath of the heart with the firmness of a sanctified mind. Confirmation students, young and old, what is a sanctified mind? My goodness. Dare we talk about that? A mind declared holy, a mind influenced by God's Holy Spirit. These things remind me, since we're doing kids' songs today, actually I didn't realize that until this morning. These things remind me of an old kid's song. I've referenced this one before, but it fits the scenario of Cain and Abel very well. Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little mind, what you think. In other words, in the case of our gospel, our Old Testament reading today, beware of hateful thoughts. Resist them, lest they turn into hateful actions. If you do well, the Lord told Cain, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Resist sin's temptation. Confirmation students, that's the law. We are not called to resist sin's temptation alone, but by faith in Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God helps us in times of temptation. That's not law. That's gospel. But Cain was not careful about what he thought. He deliberately set aside God's command not to hate his brother in his heart. Cain dwelt on his hateful thoughts until they led to his starting an argument with his brother. Cain had set his mind on killing. And having followed through with his evil intent, when the Lord asked the whereabouts of Abel, Cain coldly said, am I my brother's keeper? He didn't even seem bothered by what he had done. That's what happens with willful sin. When sin is willfully committed, it leads to a hardening of the heart until all hope of sorrow over sin is gone. Our confessions warn of such attitude. The preface to our small call articles, if you will, there is a lamenting in there. What good is it to struggle in counsel concerning details about understanding Scripture, especially if no one honors or observes the chief things commanded by God? It's as if God had to honor our buffoonery while in return we trample his solemn commands underfoot. Our confessions go on to say, which fits very well with our text, our Old Testament text, in fact, our sins burden us and prevent God from being gracious to us because we don't even repent. And moreover, we want to defend every abomination with responses like, am I my brother's keeper? And it's not just hatred or murder of which we are warned, but every kind of evil that we may allow to take up residence in our hearts. The Gospel of Matthew says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander, just to name a few. These are the things that defile a person. As I considered the way our Old Testament reading was worded today, how the author worded our Old Testament reading, it seems to me that his having received God's covenant law directly from the hand of God on Mount Sinai, it seems that these things had influenced him to interpret the things of Cain and Abel through the eyes of ceremonial law, even though the ceremonial law had not been implemented at the time of Cain and Abel. Moses writes in verse 3 that Cain had brought an offering of the fruits of the ground, some of the fruits of the field. But of Abel, he writes, Abel also brought the firstborn of his flocks and their fat portions. Abel offered to the Lord the first and the best. In the very mention of these gifts, there is an indication of a difference of attitude of heart. One offered in faith that God had reconciled him to himself strictly by God's grace. The other offered out of duty, begrudgingly, almost like a rent payment for the use of the land. The author to the Hebrews writes, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gift. And through faith, though he died, he still speaks. End of quote. God commended Abel by accepting his gift. He regarded Abel and his offering. To have regard, well, I looked it up in my dictionary, my 1958 college dictionary. To have regard for someone or something is to think highly of or to look kindly upon that person or that thing with sentiments of esteem, affection, and kindness. There was a time when I struggled with the idea of God regarding Abel because of his offering. I used to wonder, did God not like vegetables? Was that the problem? No, that couldn't be it. The reason I struggled was because, well, I struggled with the idea of God, and I had it backwards. I struggled with the idea of God regarding Abel because of his offering. That's backward. God had commended Abel by accepting his gift. The correct way to read that is that the Lord had regard for Abel's offering because he had regard for Abel. It wasn't that the sacrifice itself pleased God more than Cain's sacrifice. It's not that God didn't like vegetables. Both sacrifices in themselves were of an acceptable nature. God had regard for Abel's offering because by faith Abel acknowledged that he had been reconciled to God strictly by God's grace. It's not the sacrifice that makes a person acceptable in the sight of God, but a pure love that flows from faith. Another verse of that old song. Oh, be careful, little heart, who you trust. Oh, be careful, little heart, who you trust. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little heart, who you trust. Cain had made the same mistake as those for whom Jesus spoke his parable today. Those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Those who treated others with contempt. Cain, like the Pharisee in Jesus' parable, had made the mistake of thinking that God can be influenced by his outward action of sacrifice. God going through the motions. That's why for Cain and his offering, the Lord had no regard. The attitude of Cain is heard in Jesus' parable as the Pharisee pretended to pray to God, only so that he could boast before others of the things that he had done. I thank you that I am not like other people. I fast twice a week, which was not required, by the way. I give tithes of what I get. 5 times in that short prayer, he said the word I. Look how good I am. The one who prays thusly does not trust in God's mercy, and they disrespect Christ. But just as Abel offered to God in humble faith, so also this tax collector, knowing his inadequacy, seeks a God of mercy. He trusts not in himself, but calls out to God for mercy. In this way, Jesus taught that no amount of fasting, no amount of tithing could change the fact that this guy was a sinner. But it also could not change the fact that in God's mercy, he freely offers forgiveness to sinners. So in humble faith, the tax collector stood at a distance with his face down. Not downcast in anger like Cain, but in humility he called out in humble faith, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." In this man's eyes, there was only one sinner worth mentioning, only one whose sins he could see, and that was his own. He knows of no merit or worthiness on his part. He has nothing in which to boast. He asks only for mercy. And that's Jesus' whole point. You also can tell him your sin. You can call to him saying, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you can trust that he will regard you with kindness and mercy, not because of your offering, but because he has declared you his own. The tax collector was bound by overwhelming shame. There was no need or value in showing his feelings for others to see. No reason to flaunt it. His shame, his sin was between him and God. And he asks for the pardon that is assured to all sinners who call out to Jesus. And he was not disappointed. The judgment of Jesus in the case of this sinner was clear and comprehensive. Jesus said, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified." He went home in the confidence that the Lord had regard for him. He went home in the confidence that he had been declared acceptable to God. This is exactly what happened a little while ago when you spoke the words of confession. This is what happens every time you call out to the Lord for mercy in the name of Jesus. In that very moment, when you called out for mercy in the name of and for the sake of Jesus, God the Father, in that very moment, forgave all your sins. Not just the little ones, not just the ones you happen to remember at the time, every single one of them. He has proclaimed before the host of heaven that you are acceptable to him. In the same way that Jesus declared that a tax collector went down to his house justified, so also, when you go home today, you go home justified before God because of his mercy in Christ. In that knowledge, in the knowledge of God's mercy in Christ Jesus, let us resist the mumblings and the grumblings of those with Pharisaic tendencies. Let us continue to bring the children to him. Let us continue to bring the infants to him through the waters of baptism. Let us resist sin's attempts to rule over us. And as you go, may you always be reminded that through faith in Jesus, no matter where you are, God has regard for you. That means he looks upon you with kindness. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.